unusual, God. We thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for each woman that's tuning in live tonight, God. I pray that you would speak to them, that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, Lord, and that you would fill them with your presence, Lord. I ask that you would just envelop them in your love, God. And I pray, Lord, for the words, Lord, your words, God, that they would be powerful and that they would cut to our deepest parts of our hearts, God, that we would just leave here, Lord, more like you, knowing you better, Lord, more desperate for you, God. And Lord, as we study the woman with the issue of blood tonight, God, and how she reached out and touched your hem, Lord, I pray tonight that each of us would reach out and touch your hem as well. So we lay it all down at your precious feet, and we praise you tonight, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we go. I want you to go ahead and open your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 8. And tonight we've entitled this message, A Desperate Woman. And like I said, while we were praying, we are studying the woman with the issue of blood. And what a description. Right? What a description. The woman with the issue of blood. That's what she's known for. And I was thinking, what if we were all described by our ailment? What if that's how we were described? I would be the woman with a bad left eye, or amongst many other things. Maybe the woman with a bad back or something like that. What if that's how I was described? This is how this woman is described for all of us to see. And it's just so interesting to me sometimes, because we forget that they're actually real people. This woman was an actual real person. She is a real person. She's in heaven now. And tonight, I just want to humanize her a little bit for you. I want you to get to know her like I've gotten to know her as I've studied her. And I want you to learn from her and to grow for her. So will you open your Bibles, like I said, and really just tune in with me tonight. There's other people that are also known in the Bible for their ailments, right? There's the man with the withered hand. How would you like to be known as that? There's the paralytic. There's the two blind men. There are so many people known for their ailment. But the one thing, the common thread in each of those people is that they were healed by Jesus. And that's really what I want to be known for, is that I was healed by Jesus. And it's what I want you all to be known for, is that you were healed by Jesus. And as Christian daughters, we were lost, we were lonely, we were broken, we were wretched sinners. And if we know Jesus Christ, then we are also healed by Jesus. We don't have to be known by our ailment any longer. We can be known as a daughter of the living God. And that is such a beautiful thing. It's such a powerful thing. If you tonight have never touched the hem of Jesus as we read in the scripture, I pray that tonight you would come to Jesus as a desperate woman, as we're going to see now. So look with me, starting in verse 40 of Luke chapter 8. And it says, "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood was stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, "Who touched me?" But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me.' Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Last week, we got to hear from Brooke, and she taught on Jairus' daughter, the little girl who was healed. She was dying at 12 years old, and she was healed by Jesus. And I just re-listened to that again tonight, today, before I came here. And I really recommend, if you didn't get to tune in, that you listen to that, because it's important and it's good. But anyway, as long as that little girl was alive, this woman that we're studying tonight was figuratively dead. She'd been 12 years suffering of this awful, this embarrassing, this isolating thing, this issue of a non-stop flow of blood. She had been suffering. So 12 years, this little girl was alive 12 years and dying. And then there's this woman who 12 years, the same amount of time, had been figuratively dead. She had been isolated and afflicted, and she was desperate. And think about it. She was marred by this ailment. In Leviticus chapter 15, in the Levitical law, due to this issue of the flow of blood that she had, she was considered unclean. She wasn't allowed to be with her family. She wasn't allowed to be with her friends, her neighbors. She was outside of the camp because she was considered unclean. And so she was impure, and she couldn't touch anything. Everything she touched would become impure or unclean. And so she was completely a social outcast. She had nobody for these 12 years that she can be friends with or that can be in her family. And I have this burden as I study these women often of just really getting to know them. And this week I thought a lot about who is this woman? Like, how old was she? Was she a young woman? Still young? Did she develop this ailment 12 years ago, but she was still young? Was she married? Was she a mom? Was she a daughter? Who was this woman? And if she was married, she wouldn't have been able to be held or her hand even touched by her own husband. If she was a mom, she wouldn't have been able to have her children sit on her lap. She couldn't be near them. I mean, think about that. Think about not being able to be near a friend and sharing laughter with a friend. That's who this woman is. She was utterly desperate. And somehow, through this desperate state of hers, she had heard about this Jesus, and she had heard about the miracles that he was doing, and she mustered up this amazing courage and the strength. And remember, she had been bleeding for 12 years. Like, she must have been really ill. She must have probably been anemic and not very strong, and she mustered up the courage and the strength to press through that crowd and go to Jesus. She must have thought, this is my one chance. This is it. This is my one chance. Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, he tells us that she had spent all of her money on physicians, and she was no better for it. No better for it. Some of the remedies of the day were so strange. I read that one of the remedies was that you would take the ashes from an ostrich egg, and in the summer that you would place these ashes on a linen menstrual rag, and then in the winter you would place these ashes on a cotton menstrual rag. Another remedy was that you would take, this is very strange, that you would take the barley seed found in the dung of a white donkey and insert it to stop bleeding. So this poor woman, she'd spent all of her money, and this is the kind of help she was being offered, which did her no good. Remember, it says that she was none the better for it, none the better. And there's no reason why this desperation, there's no wonder why this desperation led her to Jesus, right? There's no wonder. Her faith, it was a little bit flawed. It was a little bit shaky, but she went. She went and she touched and she was healed. And what kind of desperation, if you're saved, if you're a Christian listening tonight, what kind of desperation did you have when you went to Jesus, when you were touched by Jesus, and when you were healed? What kind of where were you? remember that. Jesus was her only hope. Jesus is our only hope. We can search for cures. We can think good thoughts. We can surround ourselves with good people. But until we approach the living God, until we touch the living God, until we talk to the living God, they're worthless. They're all futile. They're hopeless, aren't they? The only hope for us is to have contact with the living God. And that's what we're going to learn about tonight. Did you go to him in sickness? Did you go to him in suffering? Did you go to him lost? Because we are all lost sinners and he heals us. And so tonight, go to him in those ways. If you don't know him already, go to him in that sickness. Go to him in that suffering. He is the living God and he's approachable and you could touch him and you can talk to him. My first point tonight is she approached him, and that's found in verse 43. Verse 43 again says, "Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any." Imagine the scene with me. It was hectic. There were people everywhere. It was crowded, and people were touching Jesus and pushing and trying to get a better view. I'm imagining that people were probably jumping on people's backs, trying to see what was going on. It was utterly chaotic. And this is, remember, a weak and sick woman. And the only thing that I can imagine that it must have been like was a time that I was in Haiti and we were in the marketplace. It's an outdoor market. And it was the most chaotic thing I've ever experienced in my life. And it was sensory overload in every way. There was somebody carrying like partially alive, partially dead chickens by their feet, and those were brushing up against you, and there was people carrying rocks and stones following you because they didn't like you, they didn't like Jesus, and they wanted to throw them at you and kill you. There was meat lying open on tables, just raw meat with maggots and flies all over. It was unreal. It was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen in my life. And there was this woman, she was clearly demon possessed. And she was sitting there with a jar of mayonnaise and she was eating out of this jar, just eating this mayonnaise. And she saw our children and she was clicking at them and she was demonic and evil, and you can't even make this stuff up. And I'm imagining that the scene must have been similar to that, just craziness and chaos. And you know what it is? Even in the craziness and the chaos, Jesus was there for us in Haiti, and he was there in the scene that this woman was in, and he was there, and many people were saved. And it's amazing. It's amazing that chaos doesn't matter to Jesus. He is in the midst. And I think of what it took, that desperation that she had, and she was at the end of her rope. She was absolutely, completely, utterly at rock bottom when she approached the living God. And that's Our Lady. That's Our Lady tonight, is she approached the living God. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In John 5:8, we read of a man Jesus healed at the pool of Bethesda. You know this story, maybe. He had been suffering for 38 years, and he just laid there by the pool of water because it was thought that the only person that would be healed was the person that was first in the water after the water was stirred, right? And he had nobody to help him get in the water, so he could never be healed. And so he laid there and suffered for 38 years. And you know who Jesus went to? When he showed up on the scene, he went to that guy, right? He went to that guy. And that's how Jesus is. He goes to the person at the back of the room, right? The one that looks like completely without hope. But when Jesus looks at somebody like that, he sees him in them and sees what he can do. And that's so beautiful. This woman approached Jesus as a bloody and broken outcast. And she placed her very weary hand on her weary hand and her hopeful heart on the hem of his garment, just the hem of his garment. And she touched the one who was going to heal her there. But you know what else he was going to do? He was going to spill every drop of her blood for all eternity, of his blood for all eternity as well. That's who she touched. She touched the Messiah, the Savior of her soul. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness." There's a commentator, and he said, "The object of her faith was exceedingly more important than the quality of her faith." Do you need to approach Jesus tonight? Is your faith just a little bit wobbly? Are you weary and a little bit broken? Then that's a really good place to be. That's a really good place to approach Jesus. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And Matthew 17:20 says, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." A mustard seed, I'm going to read this to you, is about 1 to 2 millimeters in size. It is tiny. Yet the brush can grow upwards of 20 to 30 feet tall and wide. The picture the Lord painted for the disciples was one of hope. Our faith doesn't need to be outwardly large to have a large impact. The tiny mustard seed holds the potential of a 30-foot bush. A seemingly inconsequential speck of faith can move mountains. And that's what our woman tonight had. She had a speck of faith to go out and approach the living God. Just a speck was all she needed. My second point is she touched him. Look with me in verse 44. It says, "She came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, "Who touched me?" But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me.'" I love Peter. Don't you guys love Peter? He is always so faithful to point out just the absolute obvious. We would call Peter Captain Obvious, right? He's like, "Come on, Jesus, what do you mean who touched you? There's like people all around, everybody touched you." And he's just so literal that it's just funny. I just can't wait to meet Peter because I think we can all see a little of ourselves in him, right? And that's what he's like. He's just like, "Come on, Jesus." And Peter, he totally missed the point, right? Because she didn't like casually brush up against Jesus. No, she reached out for him. Like, she purposely reached out and touched his hem. She wasn't like accidentally touching him. And Peter missed that, but Jesus knew, right? Because power left him. I watched this documentary the other night, and it's called Free Burma Rangers, and I really recommend it. And it's about this guy. Obviously, it's a documentary, so it's true. But it's this American man, and he was raised on the mission field with his parents. And then after he, you know, when he was older, he went into the Army Rangers, was trained with the Army Rangers for years, and then he felt this calling to go to Burma. But he felt more called to be like a soldier, like a missionary soldier, basically. So he basically trained these Burmese people how to become soldiers, how to become rangers. And he worked with them for years, and then they got this calling to go with these Burmese rangers. They got this call to go to Mosul, Iraq. And it was crazy because this was like the most dangerous place to be, right? It's so dangerous there. And they went, and they were supposed to free innocent lives. That was their calling. That's what they wanted to do. And there's this one scene in the documentary, and it's a real scene. It's not a movie. We're watching it. And there's this group of people just lying dead. Most of them are dead, and there's a few alive. And they're looking at them through binoculars, and they're thinking, like, I don't know how we can help them, because as soon as we step out, the ISIS is going to see us, and they're going to fire, and they're all going to be dead, and we're all going to be dead. And but they're looking, and they're seeing a few people stirring, and you see this man. He's lying there amongst all this dead, and he raises this like weary hand, just this weary, bold hand, which said like was a cry for help. He was just exhausted and scared, and you know what? God sent help. He made a way for them to go and rescue this man who was so weary, who was so scared, who was so tired, but yet bold enough to raise his hand. And it reminded me so much of our woman here tonight, and it reminded me so much of what Jesus wants to see in us. Like, are you weary? Are you tired? Do you feel desperate and alone and sick and suffering? Like, are you going to raise your weary hand to the living God? Like, what other hope do you have? What other hope? What else is there? If you can't raise your hand to him, nothing else is hopeful. And Jesus, when she did that, he called her out, and it wasn't because he wanted to humiliate her further. He wanted to develop her faith, which was so sweet of him to do. And so when she touched him, she was healed immediately. And when she went before him as a healed woman, she got to gaze at the face of her healer. She got to gaze at the face of her Lord. And it showed others around, not just her, but others around, like, are looking at this healing, and it's developing their faith as well, because God doesn't waste a thing, right? One person doesn't just get affected. It goes on and on and on. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." And it just really struck me how she got to gaze at the face of Jesus in that crowd. And it just amazing to me. And so the thing to learn from that is that he is touchable. Jesus is touchable. You can reach out. You're weary, you're tired, you're lonely, you're broken, you're frustrated, your desperate hand to him, because he is touchable. And the third point is, she talked to him. In verse 47, it says, "Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately." She immediately began to praise him. Matthew 10:32 says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father in heaven." In Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." She approached him, she touched him, and now she spoke to him. Psalm 145:14 says, "The Lord upholds all who fall down and raises up all who are bowed down." So what is ailing you tonight? What do you need to talk to Jesus about tonight? What unsettled business do you have? It may seem scary, and you may have to go trembling and falling down, but that is the best place to do. And you know what happened? The most tender thing of that I can think of in the whole Bible happened right after she came and gazed at his face and told him what had happened. The most sweetest, most tender thing of all happened. And my fourth point is, he talked to her. And in verse 48 it said, "And he said to her, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" And daughter, do you know that daughter in this is the only time recorded that Jesus ever used the word daughter, ever. And when he said that, it's as to say sweetheart. And he was telling her in that word daughter that I am restoring to you everything that had been taken from you for 12 years. That is so sweet. Joel 2:25 through 26 says, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you." David Guzik, a commentator, he said, "Jesus never called any other person by this name. Jesus wanted her to come forth and hear this special name of tenderness. When Jesus calls us forward, it is because he has something special to give to us. Again, I wonder about this woman, and I so long to know her in heaven. Like, I'm so excited to get to know her, because in this passage, all the three gospels that she's mentioned in, they all call her woman, the woman with the issue of blood. That's how she's known for. But to Jesus, she's daughter. And have you ever heard the saying, we spend our childhood years wishing to be an adult and our adult years wishing to be a child? Have you heard that saying? At the touch of Jesus' garment, her youth is restored. He told her to go in peace and be of good cheer. And you know who's peaceful and cheerful? Children, right? Children are generally peaceful and cheerful, right? Daughters are generally peaceful and cheerful. Matthew 19, 13 through 14 says this, then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. So he said to her, be of peace and of good cheer. And peace means rest, serenity, ease. And cheer means joy and glee. So rest peacefully in joy. And so I ask you, do you want this living God, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, to touch you in a tender and a personal way? I think we can learn from Our Lady here tonight that yes, we can be touched in a personal way by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and this is how we can approach him, we can touch him, we could talk to him, and we can hear from him. I'm going to end with Psalm 40, verse 5, and it says, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this daughter of yours, God. I will forever think of her as daughter instead of woman, God, and what a joy it will be that we get to meet her, God. And I'm sure for many, as it was for me, that we can learn from her, God, that we can relate to her on many ways, God, in many ways. And I pray, God, that you would just continue to minister your truth, Lord, to our hearts, God. I pray that we would come and feel comfortable and ready to go boldly before your throne of grace, God, because at your throne of grace is mercy and kindness and tenderness and the sweetest of names, God. So we praise you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. And we pray that you would continue to bless us as we move over to our gathering on Zoom, God. I pray that you would do a good work in our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanted to, first of all, invite whoever's listening online to go to Zoom. You can go to zoom.us, and it'll ask you to join. And all you have to do is put our ID number in, which I believe is on the screen. But I'll say it as well, it's 375-903-0224. And I also wanted to tell you that we're praying about what we're going to do from here in terms of WOW and our Bible study, our upcoming things. So we're going to keep you posted because we're waiting on the Lord. So that's the best we have, and that's the very best we could have, is just to wait on the Lord. So look for your emails, look at our Facebook and all that, and we'll just keep you posted. So we'll see you on Zoom. God bless you.